The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live at Bar Canada the day. Again, we're efforting to find out what the D stands for, Detroit, Derek, or downtown. We should know that.
Weren't we told all three?
Was it all three? Were we told that? By whom were we told that?
Pretty sure it was a tweet, but yeah.
Oh, that's very reliable. All right, it's all three of them. Derek, Detroit, downtown. By the way, that stuff that I was just talking to Spore about with the baseball win totals, you could just geek out on this stuff looking at how, again, 162 points of data, right? 162 games.
And you still have that many,
for seven of the 30 to still be in play here in the final days of the regular season. Every team has either five or six games left. I think two teams have seven left, actually. But it's usually five. It's really five or six games left. And you still have, I mean, the Orioles have had this two and a half game lead over the Rays, between 1.5 and 2.5 games. It feels like for 3 months. That's still up for grabs. The Orioles have a three game lead in the loss column, so they're almost there. And then, you know, now it's the Rangers in the flip-floppy AL West. It's the Rangers who have the 2.5 game lead, three in the loss column over the Astros, who, yes, they did beat the Mariners yesterday, but got swept by the Royals. Are you kidding me?
Brutal.
Now, the Rangers still have four games left with the Mariners. So, you know, again, tiebreakers matter. But in the, again, Baltimore does have the tiebreaker over Tampa Bay. So Baltimore, it's almost fait accompli. They're going to win that. But in the West, Seattle has a tiebreaker over Houston. Houston has a tiebreaker over Texas. Texas has a tiebreaker over Seattle. So it's a round robin thing there. And then when Toronto in the mix with the wild card, because one of those teams is going to be purged. Right now, it looks like Seattle's the team on the outside looking in. But Texas has the tiebreaker over Seattle. Oh, let me get to the Toronto ones. Toronto has a tiebreaker over Houston. Texas has a tiebreaker over Toronto. Seattle has a tiebreaker over Toronto. So there's all kinds of things you have to keep in mind if you're still placing bets on this stuff.
You said something interesting before. You don't think this Blue Jays team is all that good?
When you watch these games every day and you just go to a sports book and you got baseball everywhere, there's nothing about the Blue Jays to me that is like, oh, that team's got a shot at anything. And yet here they are. Because I can't tell you how many times I've in-game bet on them. Where you're just like, oh, there we go again.
Their
bullpen is awful.
I only bring it up because I feel like the past, you know, couple years, whether it's been you, Matt Brown, Paul Spore, or whenever we talk, it's like the baby Jays up and coming, but still haven't hit that point where you can trust them, huh?
Not me, anyway. I don't. I mean, like, and that's why I asked Paulie that question. Like, okay, all of these teams, like, how do you wrap? I mean, I got the Rangers season win total over hits, but like, do you trust them? They go in these long periods of time where they're just not any good. Somehow it looks like they're going to win this division in the end. You know, I don't feel great about the Blue Jays, as I said. The Astros, well, we've been expecting them. Okay, they didn't have Alvarez for a long stretch. They didn't have Altuve. So we always thought the Astros would rise in the end. They're struggling just to make it. Like right now they're on the inside, but they got to get through this week to even make the playoffs. Forget about the division at this point, right? Seattle, a lot of people said if they get into the postseason, they could be tough, but they're on the outside looking in now. And I really do. I mean, we always stress this about baseball players. They're the most random of anything. I'll spare you the stats by Lopez stat. It's the most random thing. But of all the years, doesn't this feel like the one? Like, you have to constantly keep that stat in mind because your brain very easily goes to, yeah, but there's no way the Braves and the Dodgers can get beaten in the postseason. People don't say that about the Orioles, mind you, right? Because people are like, the Orioles pitching is not good enough. They might be just a regular season kind of team this year. But you do have to allow for the fact, because of the random nature of the baseball postseason, and yes, they will avoid the best of three, talking about the Braves and the Dodgers, that it's still very possible that in a best of five, right, in the division round, where a team like the Phillies could beat one of these teams. Absolutely, it could happen. Like, no problem, it could happen. The Brewers, as Paul just mentioned, of course it could happen. So it's just, I mean,
the Padres.
Yeah, no. By the way, they were saying that.
I'm sitting over here doing the same. I'm like, I think this is going to be the last time we're going to talk about the Padres. Maybe, finally.
It is. Because for the Padres to make the postseason, it would have to be the wackiest combination of events that would happen now.
Right, yeah.
To have
them not losing.
Of like five or six teams being tied at the end. They're basically eliminated.
Yeah, I think I saw what are they, five and a half out? They're still not eliminated?
Well, like I said, with teams like the Giants.
Five and a half. Yeah. So you have so many, how many combination of losses you would have to get, right?
There should be a rule, unless you're 500, which, by the way, the Giants aren't either, right? They're one game back. But the Padres will just struggle to get to 500 this year after all of that.
The run differential stuff is fascinating.
It is.
Like, the Padres are going to miss the playoffs. They have a plus 90 run differential.
And the Diamondbacks will get in with a negative run differential.
I mean, the Marlins are minus 51 right now.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks are only 18.
I'm glad you brought up the Marlins, because here we are. We haven't mentioned them. Right now, the Diamondbacks and the Cubs are tied for the 2 and 3 positions in the wild card. The Marlins are only one game behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people are thinking about them at this point, but they are on the cusp. And a team like the Cubs now, they got 3 against the Braves and 3 at Milwaukee, who, yeah, you can make the case, well, neither of those teams have anything to play for. I think that's a little overrated. So, I mean, they could lose a lot of games. The Marlins could very well squeak into the postseason.
Odds are fascinating on that, because you got yes, no to make the playoffs. Marlins minus 150 on the yes, Cubs minus 130.
Yeah, that makes sense based on, again, that's sort of schedule-based at this point, right?
Right.
But it's fascinating. All these nights are fascinating in baseball. But before we talk more baseball with Mark Borchardt, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for College Football Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlon.
Who's this guy? Bidlon, yeah! Fire it up. Let's go. Guess it is. Florida State. Not playing this week. No, they're not listed.
I was going to say.
I was like, I thought we were doing these until they lost. But yeah, they're not playing.
We're spared of your FSU guesses.
Yeah.
Nice job last week. You actually nailed one.
I did. Yeah.
And what did you say to
I don't think last year there was way more my spread was better, you know, situation going on where we actually found some bets early on that were working out.
Yeah.
This year, not at all. Are you kidding me? I might have guessed a spread correctly last week. But if you were actually betting whatever side I favored more than what the actual spread is, oh boy, that would be terrible this year. You don't want to do that.
All right, let's start with Colorado. The Colorado fairy tale is over.
Yeah.
Oregon, I don't like to use the word, the phrase curb stomped, but they got curb stomped.
Yep.
They curb stomped Colorado. And they do so in, 42-6 in the end? Was that the final score? Colorado takes on USC. Still no Travis Hunter. Your guess, sir, is?
Yeah, this one's a little tougher. I think... The key this week, Gil, is we're going around the key number of 21 in college football, okay? We all know that's a real key number. You got to bet around, making lines around that. So that's kind of the theme for this week. I went USC 21.5 in this one. I think this one, you know, talking about you're a 21-point dog against Oregon on the road. I'm trying to make the adjustments in my head. So I went 21.5 USC.
I think you're pretty dead on here, aren't you?
Bang. I don't know.
Right on the number. You serious? You didn't know that? 21.5.
Nice. Two in a row, man. Two weeks in a row.
I actually think you were a half point off last week, right? This is the first.
No, I got three. It was three.
You
it was
did?
Notre Dame, Ohio State. It was three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at 21.5.
Boom.
Nice. Kelly Billet. We might have to scrap this segment now. It's not even funny anymore.
Let's go, man.
You're cannibalizing your own segment.
I really thought we screwed up that graphic at first. I didn't think I was getting that one.
No, it's 21.5.
What do you got for me next?
Next
keep
game.
Rolling. Let's go 4 for 4. Come on, man.
Relax. Utah and Oregon State, Pac-12, Pac-2 matchup.
This one is extremely unfair, because even I know that Cam Rising is supposed to come back at some point, and he's actually like a legit quarterback.
He was supposed to play last week.
Right, exactly. And like, and Utah keeps winning these games. So this one's really hard to figure out. I put it as a pick 'em. I know you got DJ Uiagalelei there at Oregon State, a lot of hype around this team. But I mean, if Cam Rising's coming back, I don't really, like, this line's got to be somewhere between like 3.5 either way, but the quarterback has a massive effect on it. So, yeah, I'm going pick 'em, Oregon State.
And the actual line. How did you pronounce DJ's last name, by the way?
Uiagalelei.
Okay. Sounds like you ate it a little bit. Oregon State minus a field goal, minus 3.
Okay.
Not horrible.
All right, so Cam Rising gets ruled in. This is a pick 'em.
I think they assume he's playing in this one.
Oh, really?
That's my hunch.
We've gotten to that point, like he should be playing now?
Well, we sort of got faked out by that last
right.
week. Yeah.
Okay.
So I would assume I guess the assumption this week is that he will.
Okay.
Let's go to the Big Ten. Michigan taking on Nebraska.
Yeah, I feel like you always got to take like 5-6 points off when it's a Big Ten matchup. You know what I mean? So I went Michigan 20.5 here. They are, what did I figure out? Michigan 8.6 points below the spread on average so far. So they're not covering at an extremely high clip. So I went Michigan 20.5. I know Nebraska, not very good at football right now. But that was my guess for that one.
We're going to have Pete Futak on later. I'm curious as to what he thinks about, like, would this be the year?
Well, 3 off.
Yeah, 3 off. You had 20.5. It's 17.5 in favor of the Wolverines in this one. Would this be the year, like, again, we go to a 12-team playoff next year? I was having that debate with Goulet after the show yesterday. I'm like, oh, I would love to see a 12-team. He's like, I wouldn't. I still want just 4. Because he's like, none of these teams are any good. I'm like, well, that might be true, but they're all kind of, bad this year.
I think that's a problem when you get in years like this where you could easily make the argument for, is it better to have 2 or is it better to have 12? How many bad teams do you want to see play?
SEC, Georgia, Auburn, last one.
All right, Georgia, 27-point favorites over South Carolina, won by 14. Auburn coming off the bad loss to A&M. I made it Georgia 21.5 because, again, 21 is a key number in college football.
Did you make it 21?
Yeah, 21.5.
Yeah, that sounds a little high to me.
Okay.
Yeah, 14.5. I knew you'd botch one of these.
I only had one dud this week. All right.
Yeah. Georgia.
Hey, 3 good ones.
A 14.5 point favorite. Kelly got by 21.5. And you know what, Kelly, that means value on Georgia.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, there's a lot, man. There's
value
a lot.
On Georgia.
This is in the Big Ten, too. I didn't have to take off points.
Because I just appreciate your thorough research. I just want to tell you.
I go make a couple notes, you know.
Futak on college football. Borchard on MLB. It's a numbers game at Visa. That's still to come. And, of course, the Yom Kippur Massacre right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out. Today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Someone just won a jackpot, I think, back there. Pretty sure.
Yeah, it was a big yell right at my splitting bets. Money, it helped add to the splitting bets.
Money machine counter earlier. People winning here at the D. NFL week 4 upon us. And for those of us who are fortunate to still be alive in Survivor, this is, and we're going to talk about this later in the week, but this is one of the more brutal weeks if you're in Circa because, again, with like Kansas City last week, Kansas City got folks through like myself, but that's one less team to deal with in the old Thanksgiving Christmas Kiniella later.
Right.
This week, you go up and down the NFL slate, and I mean, here, the biggest spread on the board, right, is the San Francisco 49ers, 14-point favorites against the Cardinals, but they're a problem because, again, they're also in that, you know, in that Christmas thing. Kansas City, by the way, just to clarify, Kansas City has a home game on Christmas against the Raiders, so they're gone for me. San Francisco has an away game against the Seahawks on Thanksgiving. They have a home game against Baltimore on Christmas. So San Francisco, you really don't want to use, I guess. When you go past that, but, you know, like in your head, you're kind of like, do I really want to save? I think I do, but...
Okay, so that was going to be my biggest question for you.
Yeah.
At this point, because I can ask these questions now, because I'm not a part of the contest anymore.
Right.
So I can ask these questions, I guess. At what point do you need to start coming off your priors, if you will, or plans that you had for before the season of how you were going to do this?
I have no plans. Remember, okay. I said first 4 or 5 weeks of the year, you just survive because none of us knows anything.
I mean, because what percentage have we had eliminated already?
73 point. I'll give you the exact number.
It's insane.
Number.
I mean, and it's you, and you can't, you can't know what that's going to be every year is the problem. You know what I mean? That could be 30%.
For those who missed it yesterday, this year through 3 weeks, 73.25%. After last night, 73.25% of Circa Survivor has already been eliminated. Last year through 3 weeks, 74.73%.
Wild.
Almost identical.
It's
last
wild.
Week, last year it was a bunch in week one. This year it was a bunch in week three. But it's almost exactly the same. Now, it went all the way to the end last year.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And now we still have 2,479 entries left. So saving for Thanksgiving and Christmas is absolutely still a thing, because this, I mean, it could be a resilient group all the way down. We don't know.
And that was my point. Do you start to think, do you start to get less set in your ways of who you've kind of written in to play on Thanksgiving, Christmas, because so many people have gotten eliminated?
Well, I do think what you start to do is you start to say to yourself, okay, the options that I just went through on Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, let's take Thanksgiving, Green Bay at Detroit, Washington at Dallas, San Francisco at Seattle. Well, Dallas is still the one that I absolutely won't give up, right? It's why I didn't play against Arizona last week, because they have a Circa quirk, right, where you have to keep Dallas. Christmas is a little more flexible because you had Kansas City hosting the Raiders. Raiders always give them a tough time, it seems like. Philly's hosting the Giants. Baltimore's at San Francisco. Philly is probably, like Dallas is Thanksgiving, Philly's probably the absolute team you want to play on Christmas. The only issue with then saying, okay, well, then I can use San Francisco, right, is what happens if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, God forbid, and he doesn't play?
Yeah.
What happens if pick your player on Dallas gets hurt and he doesn't play? You know, so you are really, if you narrow it down to just holding Dallas and Philly, you're really running that risk. So ideally, you don't want to use the San Franciscos and Kansas Cities of the world. But again, Kansas City is probably why most people got through. It is why most people got through. So San Francisco is a 14-point favorite this week.
That's so interesting.
It's why it's such a great contest, right?
Like, that is great. Like, if you put it just that way, of how many people got through on the Chiefs, a lot of people are standing there thinking, I'm not going to play them at all.
1,237. 1,237. Of the remaining 2,400 plus. So half.
Yeah.
Half got through because they used the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. Okay.
So save shmave, as my mother would say, right? So there's that. So just going back to this weekend, 49ers are 14-point favorites hosting the Cardinals. The Chiefs, who a lot of people used, are 10-point favorites on the road against the Jets. Now, the people who didn't use the Chiefs and haven't used the Chiefs realize, half the pool, if not a little more, has already used the Chiefs. So I really want to save the Chiefs now because I have this incremental advantage later. But those are the two biggest spreads on the board. The Eagles, who I just mentioned, you can't use them. They're 8.5-point favorites at home against the Commodes. I definitely am not using them because I have to save them, just like I have to save the Cowboys. And then after that, there's only one. Well, now there's two. The Cowboys, I've mentioned the Cowboys. They're 7-point favorites hosting the Patriots. I can't use them. There's only one game besides all those games we just mentioned, which have a lot of teams where you either can't use or you have to think four times, five times, six times to, you know, in your set, like, I really don't want to use them. I can't use them. The only spread. So take out the Cowboys, take out the Eagles, take out the Chiefs, take out the Niners.
Okay.
The
only four.
Spread.
Okay, that's what I was gonna
those
ask.
Are the four teams,
okay.
Right? And they all have Thanksgiving and Christmas implications. The only team after that has a spread higher than three. Pardon me, there's 1.5. I lied. But you get it. The Chargers, 6-point favorites hosting the Raiders. So I think the Chargers will be the most used team this week. Unless people start to shift to, I'm not saving any of these teams. Right? Because that's why I said at the beginning of the season when I went through my Survivor things, these people who write it out on the napkin, the whole map, and these people who say,
you gotta blow it up. Yeah.
You, the first four, and I'm the one who says it's a misnamed game. You're playing to win. But I said, none of us knows anything. So the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, you've got to just survive. And you see it. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter? A quarter of the pool is left. That's it. So the Chargers will be the most used in Circa. That will not be the case in other pools that don't have the Thanksgiving and Christmas quirks, just like it wasn't last week. Dallas was the most used team in non-Circa pools last week. And then everything else, Kelly, with the exception of Minnesota's a 3.5-point favorite at Carolina. They might be a popular pick, though. People will say it's Minnesota and it's on the road. God, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
But then everything else is 3. Jacksonville's 3. Denver's 3 at Chicago. Jacksonville and London hosting Atlanta. Cleveland's 3 versus Baltimore. Pittsburgh's 3 at Houston. New Orleans is 3 hosting Tampa Bay. 2.5, right? Cincinnati's 2.5 at Tennessee. Buffalo's 2.5 hosting the Dolphins. And then there's the ones, the Rams and the Colts. That's it. Oh, did I forget one? Yeah, the Seahawks and the Giants on Monday night. 1.
So I bet both of these already. I mean, it'd obviously be where I go because I bet them. I think you almost have to go with Chargers or Chargers or Vikings and just live with the results. Know what you're betting on. It is the Vikings on the road. It is the Chargers.
Imagine that.
Which can always just be said. It's the Chargers.
The Chargers and Vikings. Those two teams that just played the most on-brand game in the history of the NFL this past week. The two most Meshuggah teams ever. They will determine the fates of most survivor entries this week. Because who else are you going to play?
Yeah, I don't know.
To play somebody else, you've got to have some kind of conviction.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I had a lot of conviction on the Patriots playing the Jets. They held on for dear life. They dominated the game, but they held on for dear life. All these games are Plinko. What could possibly go wrong with the Chargers and the Vikings?
I'm just trying to even think. I think maybe Drew made a good case earlier for the Colts, but I'd only even be interested in the Colts if Anthony Richardson was there, and I knew he was going to have no limitations running the ball.
I can't play
which
that.
I don't think you're going to know at all.
I can't play that. Even Pittsburgh,
James Winston revenge game.
Remember my last words on guessing lines were yesterday were, oh no, I'm going to have to play the Chargers. Because I think one of my two is going to have to be on the Chargers, if not both.
I have no idea who else.
I mean, unless you think, do you think the Broncos are that much better than the Bears? There's no chance I'm playing the Broncos again. There's no chance I'm doing it. They've already beat me twice.
You even have to think about it. It's great because you've gotten beat by them twice. Oh my God, it's wild.
Listen, I had a lot of conviction on the Jaguars on guessing lines, but do I want to risk a survivor entry on them? Maybe. What were the bets you've made so far this week?
I think that's an interesting one. I was going to bring up the Jags, but you have to be, I think two things have to be true at the same time. You have to be ultra down on the Jags right now to want to use them this early. But at the same time, you gotta think this is obviously an easy win against Atlanta.
But just think how ridiculous it is we're just went through. I lost an entry. I started with 5. I have 2 left. I lost an entry each week. Denver, Jacksonville. Who am I considering playing? Denver and Jacksonville.
Ugh.
It's ridiculous.
My bet so far, I did lay 5.5 with the Chargers, 3 with the Vikings yesterday, and then over 44.5 that Vikings-Panthers game.
Best of the number on all of them. Even the total? Got the best of the number?
Yeah, 44.5. Yeah. I think it was 44 it opened. Yeah.
Mark Borchard joins us next. Talks some more baseball in its final week. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5, just $5. You get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw down 5 on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. Football's more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code VEGAS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Todd Wishnev and the Yom Kippur Massacre coming up. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Ryan Hyatt. Now that Kelly has guessed college football lines with Gil on VEASAN, red-blooded Americans can get down with their hard-earned money. Kelly feels college football like no other. Pay heed. Gutalytics.
He calls it Gutalytics.
Gutalytics.
Hey, watch out, Ryan. It's 2 weeks in a row. I've been dead on the number. Dead on, right? 21.5 again.
Hashtag can't believe they hand this stuff out for free. SoCal.
Yeah, sign up. Use that promo code, ANG.
SoCal Fantasy. Roxy Roxborough. Lefty Rosenthal. Jimmy the Greek. Kelly Bidlin. I simply must add you to the list.
I'm 2 weeks in a row, baby. I'm riding a hot streak right now.
3JACK H3131. Currently in a DraftKings survivor pool, 72.7% have been eliminated already. I've used Washington, Buffalo, and Seattle so far, feeling good with all the choices I have left to use. Yeah, you're better off than most with that group. When I lost on Jacksonville this week, the entry that I lost with Jacksonville was my good one with Washington and the Giants and then Jacksonville.
Oh, man.
So the two that I still have, I have zero advantage over anybody. It's just the most chalk fest of all of them. Montreal Max. Is it possible to buy an LED board like what's behind Gil right now at VSiN with the live feed of current circus sports for a private residence paying a monthly fee? Huh. You want that in your house, huh?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
The data part would be private and something you'd have to figure out with Circa and pay for. I've seen people with home setups that do have odds boards.
Yeah. Scotty B726, please finish your Steelers survivor thought. My Steelers survivor thought was, I had considered them initially, but then you see Houston play as they did against Jacksonville, and I still think, even though the Steelers beat the Raiders, I think the Steelers' offense is still terrible.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm not trusting that either.
Talk about the game you already know you want nothing to do with this week. I had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And Nate King, and we bring in Mark Borchard for this, N King, Iowa. Nate King says, do you or Mark have any World Series exactas showing good value? We turn to the great Mark Borchard from an undisclosed location somewhere in the dessert at Basewinner. Basewinner.com has his Bet US show with Jason Weingarten. Excellent casting by the people at Bet US. How you doing, Mark? What's happening?
Doing good, Gil. I mean, I tell you what, it's gotten less hot here, so that's always nice. Right about in September, you know.
Here too, it is perfection right now outside. Perfection this time of year. It doesn't last very long, but it's perfection. What about that? Do you have any World Series exactas that you like?
You know, I wish I could give him something or make something up, but I really can't, because it's got to be, to me, it's got to be modeled a certain way. And like, I'm at the point right now, Gil, like, I used to do all this stuff by hand, and it takes really, like, at the end of the season, the day before the playoffs start, I'm not making this up, but it took me about 8 to 10 hours to do it by hand, get all the probabilities and stuff. And now that I know how to code a little bit, like, I know I can write something that'll do it in 20 hours. And then I won't have to do it again. So, like, I'm reticent to even, like, sit down and then, like, put pen to paper. And I think that, to be perfectly upfront with anybody who wants to go into this market, I think unless you model it, it's tough. Unless you're playing with money that you really don't care about.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked of Paul Spohr earlier, which is, all right, here we are, 5 or 6 games left in the season. We still don't know the AL East winner, AL West winner. We still don't know who's going to get in the wild cards precisely in either the AL or the NL. But what we do know is we got a lot of teams, you know, outside of the Braves and Dodgers, where there's all kinds of question marks. The Rangers, as I said, they get long winning, you know, stretches, long losing stretches. Now they're atop the AL West. The Astros, they had it on their racket, to use the tennis term. They get swept by the Royals. The Padres have this great run differential. They're not even going to sniff the playoffs. The Giants and all their magic, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. And then you have all these other randos, right? The Orioles, who have had this great season, exceeded their season win total by more than any other team, yet questions about their pitching. I guess the question is, and Spohr had an interesting answer, but I'll ask you, who do you trust? Like, if someone says, I don't care what you guys are talking about, I want to make a baseball bet right now to win the World Series. Maybe to win the pennant. What do you make?
No. So this is something that's undervalued, I think, in the market. And I've been doing this the last couple of years. It's been very helpful for me in postseason. And it's called the XXX ERA. And I do it for the bullpens. I think this is really an important thing. Swinging strike percentage, expected walk percentage, which is just balls divided by pitches. And I've been able to calculate an ERA for it. So getting to the number, Tampa Bay, last 30 days, is number one in baseball, 2.38 walk strikeout number based on that XXX ERA, if you will. And then Seattle is number two. But notably, Philly and the Dodgers are 3 and 4. And you got to go down to the Braves, number 9. So I think that's pretty interesting, Gil. I would say, like, just based on, like looking at stuff, you know, starting pitching too, Tampa Bay is probably undervalued in the market right now. And then maybe go with Philly. I think Philly's going to be really tough, especially if they play Arizona in that first game, which is looking like it's going to be the matchup, the 4-5, because Arizona's starting pitchers are so much better at home, Kelly and Gallen particularly, than they are on the road.
What do you make of that, by the way? Is there anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is. I think they pitch better in the humidity. With the ball, the humidor of the ball has made a real difference at Chase Field over the last since they instituted it 10 years ago. And I think certain pitchers do better in that situation. And so, yeah, I think that there's something to it, Gil.
OK, so that was a spectacular answer to the question, because I had just when we were talking about the Padres earlier and their 7-23 record in one run games, their 0-12 record in extra innings, that this is just this anomalous, unbelievable thing that has happened to this baseball club. I sort of countered by, is there something that we're missing with the bullpen? So you have answered that question by seizing on bullpens. And I think this is exactly what the naked eye or the naked eye, Kelly, by the way, whichever you want to go with, does not see when we're watching baseball, right? It's like the thing is like a human being can watch one game better than analytics, but analytics sees all games in a way that one human being can't. So the bullpen, triple X, swinging strike percentage, what were the two other stats?
There's just two. Swing and strike percentage, you convert it to strikeout percentage, and then balls divided by pitches, you convert to expected walk percentage, and then you get an expected percentage of strikeouts and walks, and then you get the ERA. So it is triple X. I did it for effect because it is kind of shocking.
Yeah,
but that's what you use.
Yeah. So very shocking. So very shocking, Mark. In fact, I don't even know if we can air that. No, I'm saying, so you said Tampa Bay was number one?
Tampa Bay was number one.
Can you go through all of them for us? So give us the rankings
I'll go top five. Tampa Bay, Seattle, Dodgers, Philly, Minnesota. And number six is San Francisco. But you're talking about the Padres, and they're down at 18th. And I think the Padres, for me,
there it is.
Like they don't have the bullpen depth.
And
you go into extra inning games, you don't have bullpen depth. That's a problem.
They don't have the underbelly, as you like to call it. Where I was crapping on the Blue Jays bullpen earlier. Where do they fall?
Well, the Blue Jays bullpen's pretty good by my numbers, Gil.
What do you have?
In fact, I think I've got him by overall rating at 6, and then by the triple X rating, they are 11th. So over the last 30 days, they haven't been as good. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, they just by bets, sheer betting, and I don't see it with them. So that's interesting. So Tampa Bay and Philly, which are two teams that we don't often talk about like we do others, like the Braves and the Dodgers, for obvious reason, those two might be the teams of value based on that alone. And again, I think that's the hidden thing missing. The Rays are plus 950 to win it all. Always shop around on this stuff. The Phillies are as long as 15-1 at DraftKings. So that is interesting. Which are the teams that you immediately, let's do it the other way real quick because we have a minute. What are the teams that are headed to the postseason where you're like, I don't see it at all? Is that the Orioles? Is that the Rangers? Who is it?
Possibly. I think both those teams are good candidates. The problem with the Rangers, if you discount them, is they have so much power. And I don't see them like, maybe like in the World Series, they'll go into a cold weather atmosphere and that'll hurt them. But like, you know, they play in Houston, maybe Baltimore, maybe the Texas goes to Baltimore somehow, that would hurt them. But, you know, the other teams I'm trying to think, it's Houston and Tampa Bay. They play indoors. So the atmosphere is not going to really hurt them that much. But I would say those teams, I think this is a tough year where you really can't discount anybody. Because of the format, and because of the format too. I mean, you could go in the worst team in baseball. You saw it. Kansas City beat the best team, one of the best teams in baseball, Houston, on the road. They swept them. So that could happen in baseball.
And getting the first or the second seed is such a monumental advantage, because getting through that best of three is just the ultimate crapshoot. Mark, it doesn't get more interesting than this time of year. Appreciate it, man, as always.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it.
Mark Borchardt. What a great, interesting answer with the seizing on the bullpens of the Phillies and the Rays. We're coming back. Todd Wishniff. I say it's the greatest gambling story of them all. He corrects me. He says it's the greatest story of all, Gil. Come on. Numbers Game. Visa. The Sports Betting Network. That's next.
Oh.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Worlds are colliding. We've got a subscription contest going between the shows here at VSiN, and we need your help to win. Up for grabs, a $1,000 voucher at Circus Sportsbooks to be used on a Super Bowl futures ticket. And to sweeten the deal for you, you'll save 40%, 40% when you sign up on our football season special and use promo code ANG. Kelly, what's that promo code?
ANG. Get up there, sign up now. You'll get an exclusive video of Matt Brown actually kicking a field goal.
Oh, now that.
Date is set. Location is set. Production crew is set.
Bragging rights and a $1,000 futures ticket is on the line. Make this football season your best ever and help us do the same. Save 40% off our football season special today when you use promo code ANG. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris sells. Gil, I know it's a roll of the dice, but I'm thinking Cleveland may be the pick and survivor for me. Huge risk, but if Chargers and Niners were to go down like carnage last week, there would be probably less than 500 left, and I'm seriously thinking them or Indy. I don't hate Cleveland. I really don't. And Johnny Ringo. And now the moment you've been waiting for, he writes, the star of the show in his own mind. Now, he wrote it, not me. Here's Toddy. Ladies and gentlemen, star of the Megapod. To tell what I say is the greatest gambling story of all time, Todd corrected me and said it's the greatest story of all time. And then Todd Wishnev joins us right now from his mom's quirk attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Todd, you did the extra correction off air. What would you characterize this story as?
But definitely top five all time. It may me coming right in behind the Old Testament, you know, but it's definitely up there. This is a great story in honor of Yom Kippur. You know, I've been betting for a long time, and there have been times when I've, you know, been rather well off, and there's been times when I've been not well off. And this was a time when I was not well off. And it was 2014, I believe. At the time, I didn't have a lot of money, and I went over to a friend's house. It happened to be Yom Kippur, which is like the holiest day for the Jews. As if people don't know me, I was raised as an Orthodox Jew and am no longer Orthodox. I came out of that, was able to get out from under my own goalposts around age 25 in that scenario. You know, even secular Jews fast on Yom Kippur. It's like a, you know, it's like a day of atonement. You're supposed to fast and everything, but I don't do any of that anymore because I'm a renounced Jew. And it was a college football Saturday. I believe it was October 4th, 2014. And I said, you know what? There's not that many college football Saturdays. I'm going over to my friend's
exact
house.
Date. I believe October 4th. Yeah.
I believe it was October 4th, 2014, but you can check me up on that. Anyways, I went over to my friend's house who was, he's kind of like a Fagazi Jew. He was fasting on Yom Kippur, but he wasn't going to go to temple. He was just going to sit around. And I said, oh, I'm going to come over and we'll watch college football. So I'm betting college football that day. And I don't have a lot of money, as I mentioned before. And this is sometime late in the afternoon. Yom Kippur, you fast from the night before until sunset the night before till dark the next day. I was not fasting, but my friend was. And so it ended probably the fast ended probably around 7:30 in the evening. This was right around like the 4:30 game or something like that. It was USC against Arizona State. And I bet under 34 and a half in the second half in this USC game. And basically we're watching the game and I'm winning easily. Nobody's scoring. They're just driving and punting. I think coming down with about 5 minutes left, they had only 13 points. So I had 21 points and a hook to give. USC is up pretty big. This game is going to be an easy winner. So I said to my friend, I said, hey, you know, it's getting dark. You know, I can go get you some food because I know you've been fasting. I'm so sure I'm going to win this bet. I don't even need to watch the end of it. I can go get you a sandwich. So I go around the corner. I get him a sandwich. We come back. He's eating and we're both eating. I wasn't fasting, but he was breaking his fast. And we're watching the end of the game. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get a little some hijinks, you know, touchdown, you know, backdoor touchdown and then an onside kick. And then USC runs it in for a touchdown, another touchdown. So now even with all the hijinks, all the craziness that happened at the end, I'm still up by a half a point. And there's only one play left in the game. And Arizona State has the ball roughly at midfield. They might have been at like the 46-yard line or something. So, of course, we all know what's coming, the Hail Mary. And Arizona State, they were losing by four at this point. It was like, I think it was like 32-28 or something like that. They go back to pass. The quarterback throws the ball deep down the field. Jalen Strong for Arizona State jumps at the 2-yard line in front of a massive humanity, catches the ball, rolls into the end zone, stuns the crowd at the LA Coliseum. You know, I believe there was 90,000 people. This was like when USC was still getting gigantic crowds, and touchdown, and it's a winner for Arizona State, and the crowd is silent. And I just lost my bet, which I really needed to win. And we both looked at each other like we can't even believe what just happened. It was such an easy winner, and I needed to win this bet because it was a big bet. And like I said, I really needed to win it. And my friend just started laughing hysterically, like almost like the guy in Cape Fear. He was just so overcome with, we couldn't believe what had happened. It was so stunning. So, okay, fine. Big deal. Bad beats, right? Bad beats. We've all heard them. We've all had them. You know, anybody who's listening to this show has had bad beats. You know, that's just a bad beat story, right? What's the big deal? Well, this is where the story gets a little more interesting. So the next couple of days we were talking about it, and I started coining it the Yom Kippur Massacre because it happened on Yom Kippur, and I really needed to win the bet, and the bad beat of all bad beats came in. So we started calling it the Yom Kippur Massacre. So anyways, the next couple of days, we used to go to this Beverly Hills. I lived in LA at the time, and we used to go to this coffee shop in Beverly Hills, and we would sit out there and talk to people and stuff. And so one day, my friend, the Fugazi Jew, he sends me an email. He sends me an email of a quarterback. By the way, this guy doesn't know anything about sports. He doesn't follow college football. He knows nothing. He sends me a college quarterback's email, and he says, like a profile of the guy. And he says, do you know who this is? And I go, are you just like screwing with me? Like, why are you sending me this? Like, he never sent me a profile of a college quarterback in his whole life. I'm like, why are you sending this to me? I go, do you know who that is? He goes, no. I was just sending it to you because I met the guy's grandfather over here at the coffee shop. I said, you know, that's the quarterback who threw the Yom Kippur Hail Mary pass, Mike Bercovici. I go, you met his grandfather at the coffee shop 2 weeks after this happened, and you're telling me now that you want to know if I know who he is? Yeah, I know who he is. He just destroyed me on Yom Kippur, and I can't believe that you met his. Okay, he goes, well, come on over here. You got to come over. This is unbelievable. You have to meet this guy. He's amazing. So I go over to the coffee shop. We're talking. This guy's like an old Hungarian guy. You know, he's like 77 years old. His name is Ruben. He speaks with like a real thick accent. We're talking to him and everything. And he's saying, oh, yeah, my grandson, the quarterback, you know who he is? I'm like, yes, I know who he is, Ruben. He cost me a lot of money 2 weeks ago. It was very, very painful. He goes, yeah, he's a quarterback. I said, so this guy lives in L.A., and Mike Bercovici, his grandson, was going to Arizona State. He used to go to all the games. He would go to the Arizona State games. He would go to the L.A. games, obviously, when they would play USC. So I said, oh, you were probably at the game when they, when the crazy game happened. He goes, you mean the Holy Moly game? I go, not the Holy Moly, the Hail Mary. It's called a Hail Mary, not a Holy Moly, Ruben. But yes, the Hail Mary game. Were you at the game? Because you say you go to all the games. He goes, oh, no, I didn't go to that game. I said, Ruben, you just told me you go to all of your grandson's games. He goes, it was Yom Kippur. I didn't go to the game. I go, what? He goes, yeah, it was Yom Kippur. I go, wait, you're Jewish? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm Hungarian Jew. He's telling me a whole story, blah, blah, blah. He's a Jewish guy. I go, so your grandson, like your daughter was Jewish, and she had her grandson, Mike Bercovici. So Mike Bercovici Okay. The guy, we've never met anybody's grandfather who was the quarterback in the history of the world. We've been at that coffee shop for 100 years. We never met anybody's grandfather who was a college quarterback. And now we meet one guy who happens to be the guy who threw the Yom Kippur Massacre pass. But it's better than that. That already is ridiculous because we never met anybody's grandfather 2 weeks after the worst bad beat in the history. But the guy is Jewish and throw the Yom Kippur Massacre pass was thrown by a Jewish quarterback. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, why is that a big deal, Todd? Well, I'll explain it to you. If I would have gotten screwed by an accountant or in a lawyer, then it would have made sense.
Okay.
But there are no college quarterbacks who are Jewish. It is not the thing for the Jews. There might have been a couple. Mike Bercovici is one of them, obviously. Yeah. He is the exception that proves the rule. But there are very few, if any, I would say probably less than 10 Division I college quarterbacks that were Jewish in the history of college football, let alone pro football.
Let alone playing on Yom Kippur. Yes.
Playing on Yom Kippur and throwing the Yom Kippur Massacre pass. I mean, Josh Rosen wasn't even technically Jewish.
Okay, we gotta go, Todd. We gotta go. It's the Yom Kippur Massacre, everybody. The greatest gambling story ever told. Top 5 all-time stories. Best Bets is next.